Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. When you hear that bell, get your Bible. And there's three texts that I want us to be looking at. So you might want to get your Bible and mark these three different texts here. One of them is Romans 13, 1 through 7. And then 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. And 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. Now let me repeat those. Romans 13, 1 through 7. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. And 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. These are three basic texts that describe the relationship of Christians to civil government. What a timely topic for these troubled times. And so, we're going to discuss that, and really in doing this, I'm looking at a Sunday school lesson that was written years ago. In fact, it was for the Sunday of March 4th, 1923, where this was discussed. And it was discussed following a lesson from the book of Luke in Luke chapter 20, where Jesus was asked, should we pay tribute unto Caesar? And Jesus answered, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God. Now, we finished that Sunday school lesson, but at the end of that lesson, there's this special article written in this little Sunday school material guide on the relation of Christians to civil government. And so we're going to be looking at that in just a moment. Now, while you're turning in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at the Rock Cliff Church of Christ, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's get into our lesson. The question that Jesus was asked when it says, shall we pay tribute unto Caesar, was asked by the Pharisees and the Herodians. And of course, if Jesus had said, no, don't give tribute to Caesar, well, the Herodians would have been upset about that. And if he had said, yes, give tribute to Caesar, well, then the Pharisees, and they would have been upset about that. And so he was kind of put in a dilemma. And Jesus answered that question so brilliantly when he said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God. Now, let me read this lesson. Now, I want to read these three texts. And these three texts are referred to in order to show the relationship of Christians to civil government at the time the New Testament was written. And I want you to realize now, this relationship to such governments has not changed. That's how it's to be now. And it will always be the same. Let me read those three texts to you. Now, we got to remember, this was at a time when it was a corrupt government, Rome. But still, there were some good things about that corrupt government. And the way Christians were to relate to this government is so interesting. And we can apply this today. Now, here's the text from Romans 13, 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore he that resisteth the power withstandeth the ordinance of God. And they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. For the rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to evil. And wouldest thou have no fear of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he's a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. He beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, an avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be in subjection, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause ye pay tribute also, for they are God's ministers of God's service, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. The next passage I want to read in this regard is a Christian in civil government, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. And here's what the apostle wrote. I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and all that are in high places, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The third passage I want to read in regard to the relationship of the Christians to civil government is 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 17. Be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or unto governors as sent by him for vengeance on evildoers and for praise to them that do well. For so is the will of God, that by well-doing ye should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your freedom for a cloak of wickedness, but as bondservants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Now, looking at Elam's notes in this Sunday school lesson, for the benefit of the students of these lessons, it is necessary to add here further teaching of the Bible on the subject as part of the article that was written also for a lesson written earlier for 1921. But let me go on with this. Here we read, famines, pestilence, and wars cannot change the will of God. The recent great upheaval of nations and the world war have not changed the relationship of Christians to the powers that be. God, His will, the Holy Spirit, Christ, His church, Christ preaching, and therefore the life of Christians and heaven are always the same. They cannot be changed to suit the changed conditions of the affairs of the world or adapted to the changed conceptions of worldly wise men concerning civilization and progress. But of all men, of all grades, of progress, of civilization, and in all relationships of life, we must adapt ourselves to God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Church of God, the teachings of Christ, and must practice His teachings. Christianity is the teaching of Christ, no more, no less. It is unchangeable. The gospel of Christ remains forever the power of God unto salvation to all who believe it, Romans 1 and verse 16. There can be no other gospel, Galatians 1, 6 through 10. Galatians 1, 6 through 10 reads, I marvel that you are so quickly removing from Him who called you into the grace of Christ into a different gospel, which is not another gospel. Only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preacheth unto you any gospel other than that which ye received, let him be anathema. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The relationships of Christians to civil governments, whether a kingdom, an empire, a monarchy, or a republic, is that of submission. The New Testament says, be in subject to the higher powers. Be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, render to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Honor the king. All kinds of taxes must be paid. Civil government is the ordinance of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. To withstand this power is to withstand the ordinance of God. And all who do this shall receive to themselves judgment. But for what purpose has God ordained civil government? He tells, namely, to restrain evildoers and to protect the righteous, to be not a terror to the good work, but to the evil, a minister, not a preacher of the gospel, but of God's servant, although not a Christian, of God to thee for good. Civil government bears not the sword in vain, but is God's avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil. God gives his reasons for requiring Christians to be in subjection to civil rulers. One is for conscience sake, or because it is right. Christians must be law-abiding, peace-loving, peace-maintaining, orderly, industrious, honest, righteous, and God-fearing people. A second reason to be subject to civil authorities, that they may, by well-doing, put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, that they may have praise of the civil authorities, to let their light shine by showing what kind of lives Christians live. A third reason, to escape the wrath of vengeance of God visited upon evildoers through civil government, because it is God's avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil. Paul declares that law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and unruly, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for abusers of themselves with men, for men stealers, for liars, for false swearers. And if there be any other thing contrary to the sound doctrine according to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust, 1 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 11, this means that the teaching in regard to law is according to the gospel of God. Christians need no law to restrain them from lying or stealing or swearing falsely or committing fornication, or abusing themselves with men, or murdering fathers and mothers, or anyone else, because they will not commit these sins anyway, but they are law-abiding, peaceable, righteous, godly, and holy, all for conscience sake, for rights sake, and for Christ's sake. Hence we see that the relationship of Christians to civil government is that of submission, and not that of aggression. They are forbidden to have lawsuits with one another, and are commanded to settle their differences among themselves, and not before unbelieving civil authorities, and must suffer wrong instead of doing wrong. 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 11. They are forbidden to take vengeance. Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but rather give place unto wrath. Give place unto the wrath or to the vengeance of God, for it is written, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. On the contrary, God's commandment to Christians is, but if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How then, or through what does God take vengeance? Through civil government. This is one of the purposes for which God has ordained a civil government. It should be a terror, therefore, to all evildoers, an avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil. God's avenger for God's wrath. This is God's ordained way of punishing on earth evildoers and protecting all who do well.